And while we remain steadfast, we should be looking out for others. So we should not be selfish, but we should be looking out for others, pointing them to the sign, pointing others to salvation, helping them to recognize the need, especially the unsaved among us, helping them to acknowledge the need for salvation. My God. And how are we going to do that? We can do so by allowing our lives to speak, our deeds, our action, our words. Let it speak. Hallelujah. Verse 8 also encourages us. It says, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sin. Hallelujah. This is saying we should love each other with the highest form of unselfish love. We should first of all love God, then it will flow to others. Hallelujah. We should share that agape love among each person that we come in contact with. And this love will cover the multitude of sin. It will allow us to overlook and forgive the faults and mistake of others. If we do this, there will be peace, my God. There will be unity, my God. There will be bonding, my God, among
Hallelujah.
us. And that it will bond us together in unity and in corporate service, both to God and to one another. My God, this love. Hallelujah. This love will push us to a point where we become hospitable one to another without grudging, looking after each other, looking out for each other, administering to each other's need, and we will do so without grudging. My God, we will give wholeheartedly of ourselves. We yearn after that love tonight, my God. Is anyone among us who is not yearning after that agape, that unconditional kind of love? My God, I encourage us tonight to share the love among ourselves. Share it with strangers. Share it with your enemies.
Hallelujah.
Share it with friends. Share it with the family. Hallelujah. Tonight, we are about to peruse the word of God. We will be looking at spiritual gifts. Amen. And
Amen.
verse 10 and 11 speaks to us in that regards. It says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. So when we get the gift, we don't use it for our own selfish gain or use it to draw attention to ourselves, but we should use it one to another in order for us to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 11 says, if any man speak, no, this speak according to the gifts, let him speak as the oracles of God. Do it with all intentionality. Do it to the best of your ability. Use your gift. My God, I love to say, especially at work, when I do anything, I do it as if I'm doing it unto God. So I'm doing it to the very best of my ability. So when we use it to the best of our ability, verse 11 encourages us that God in all things will be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. My God. Tonight, saints of God, we believe that we are all being given spiritual gifts. Some of us are able to identify it. Some of us are yet to identify it. Some of us are given more than one, multiple gifts. And so tonight I pray that we will identify those gifts and we will use them for the glory of God. When we use them as God directs us in service to others, and to him, then They will see Jesus. Others will see Jesus in us and will glorify his Father who is in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless the Lord tonight. Let us pray.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Holy God, our Savior and King, we thank you for this opportunity that we can come together collectively from all parts of the world. My God, millions and millions of miles away, we can connect, God Almighty, together to come in your presence. And even as we, God Almighty, even as we go into your words tonight, we pray for clarity.
Jesus.
And we pray for your wisdom. My God, I surrender your woman servant to you, one whom you have chosen to not only lead us as a ministry, but to lead us in dissecting your words tonight.
Hallelujah.
I pray, God, that you will empower her. I pray, God, for fresh anointing, my God,
yes,
over your
Lord.
Woman servant in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
I pray your Holy Spirit will tabernacle with her.
Yes, Lord, yes.
God Almighty,
Hallelujah.
I command in the name of
Hallelujah.
Jesus, a shift in her environment
yes, Lord,
now
Lord,
in the name
God.
Of Jesus.
Yes,
in the name
Thank
of
my
you,
God,
Jesus.
Every spirit of fatigue,
oh,
every
Hallelujah.
Spirit of God Almighty of weariness
Jesus,
be lifted
Jesus.
Now
in the
name
of
Jesus
Christ.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
I pray, Almighty God, that you will anoint her afresh.
Hallelujah.
My God, and that you will
God.
Take a live coal
you,
from
Jesus.
The altar and you will
Hallelujah.
Place it upon her mouth, God.
In the
yes,
name
Lord.
Of
Jesus. Even as your Holy
Jesus.
Spirit tabernacle with her, I
Ooh,
pray, God,
hallelujah.
That you will take her to a greater height of
in
understanding your
yes,
word.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
My
yes,
God
Lord.
Almighty.
Thank
I pray
you,
that you will
Jesus.
Remove the form of readiness that she thinks
Thank
she has for
Jesus.
herself.
Lord,
and you will move her, God,
yes, Lord.
Into supernatural
Lord,
readiness
God.
In the name
Hallelujah.
Of Jesus.
My God
Hallelujah.
Almighty.
Mighty
I thank
God.
You, Lord
Jesus.
God,
Jesus.
For tonight. I thank you for your people who
yes,
are gathered
Lord.
Here. I pray, mighty God,
thank you, mighty
in the
God.
Name of Jesus,
Jesus,
that your Holy Spirit will locate each home represented
in the
on
name
this
of
platform.
Jesus.
In the name of
Jesus.
Jesus, you will show up,
oh God, oh
Almighty
God,
God.
Oh God, oh God.
Hallelujah.
I pray that
Hallelujah.
We will be attentive
in the mighty name of
in the
Jesus.
Name of Jesus. I pray, God, that we will participate and communicate. And
in
this
the name
night
of Jesus.
Will be an
oh,
awesome
Jesus.
Time in your presence where we will be edified and you
Hallelujah.
Will be glorified.
In the
Hallelujah.
Take control, Almighty
Jesus.
God, as we surrender our all to you.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name.
Glory
Jesus.
To God. Glory to
Can
God.
We say in Jesus' name?
In
platform.
Jesus'
name.
Hallelujah.
Encourage us to raise our mic and
Hallelujah.
Give her the name of
Jesus.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Mighty God. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
We
thank
speak
you,
the
Jesus.
Name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We speak
Hallelujah.
The name
yes,
Jesus
Lord.
Tonight.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus,
Hallelujah.
Jesus name.
We bless the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. In the name, mighty God.
Praise God. Praise
glory.
God.
Glory
Jesus.
To
I
God.
Hope that tonight we come with our cups turned up. We come with our pens and papers, my God Almighty, and we come, hallelujah, with a spirit of worship, even as we go into the word of God. At this time, I'll ask Sister Camille just to play that song for us, after which Sister Camille will take over in Jesus' name.
Some people sing, some people preach, some people laugh, some people weep. Spiritual gifts are what he gives us. Spiritual gifts lie deep within us. Look around and you can see with your spiritual eyes the beauty in every single human being. We all have a purpose that's pre-existing. He made us Spiritual gifts, yeah. Some people don't see their gift. Some people hide it deep within. When we share our gifts, we bless each other. Share our gifts, we are His ministers. Share your gift, share your heart. Share it over and over. And watch what will come back to you. Shine's gonna light up brighter. He made us all to love one another. He made us all to lift up each other. Spiritual gifts are why He gives us. Spiritual gifts lie deep in us. Spiritual gifts, spiritual gifts, spiritual gifts, yeah, yeah, yeah. Spiritual gifts, spiritual gifts, spiritual gifts, yeah, yeah, yeah.
God, hallelujah.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. We bless the holy name of Jesus Christ tonight. I greet you tonight, people of God. I greet you in the worthy and exalted name of Jesus. Bless the Lord. Amen.
Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen. It's a wonderful blessing. Always, always, always a privilege, my God, to get into the presence of the Lord and to share with God's wonderful people. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Bless the Lord. One songman says, I like the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. And, you know, as we're here tonight, we're going to be, you know, looking at the spiritual gifts, you know, the empowerment that God would have given us for ministry. Hallelujah. And so we are going to delve right in. I want to use this opportunity to welcome each of you and to thank you, you know, for joining us and for being on time. Hallelujah. As we get started in this tonight's proceedings. So thank you again for joining us. And I pray that your heart will be blessed. I pray that, you know, you will garner new insight, and as I surrender to the Lord, I pray that He will feel free to use me as a vessel to bring clarity to any misconception and to cause us to feel fulfilled and edified and equipped for ministry in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. And so we jump right in. Tonight, we're looking at the gifts of the Spirit. And yeah. I want to ask us, even before we get right into that, what is a gift? What is a gift?
Oh, it's just something given. Something given to you.
Okay. Something given to you. All right. Thank
without
you,
Nathan. Any cost. Without any cost.
Without to you. Any cost. All right. I like that. Something freely given, Sister Kenesha. All right. Any other response?
Something received from someone.
Something you receive from someone. All right. And you are all on the right track, you know. And the definition I have based on this online source, it says a gift is something given. But there's a key word that was highlighted when I saw it. It says given willingly to someone without a payment. My God. And when I read it, I thought about the gift of salvation. Amen. That God would have given to us willingly, freely, without a payment. My God. Praise God. And so that's just the gift of salvation, not a gift of the Spirit, but a gift from Almighty God nonetheless. Now that we know what a gift is, what is a spiritual gift then? What then is a spiritual gift? Anybody? All right. Go ahead,
Yes.
Deacon.
Yes, maybe I would say that is a gift that is given by the Spirit without any where you did not pay for it. It was given to you freely from the Spirit.
Amen.
I would also, Sister Camille, like to say it's a gift given to us through the Holy Spirit to effectively serve God.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And I see Sister Kenisha put something God gives willingly that is free. Praise God. And indeed it is. A divine gift that is given freely to man. Amen. Una scholars, man. Praise the Lord. And so you're all correct, right? I see people giving bits and pieces, one person touching here, one person touching there. But a spiritual gift, it is a gift, but if I say a spiritual gift is a gift, you might say, what is a gift? I say something, what is it? It is an ability. The spiritual gift is an ability or an enablement given to us as believers by God, right? So God would have given us certain abilities, right, for the purpose of serving others. So God didn't just give us so that we can have it. He gave us with the purpose of serving others, right? Another definition states a spiritual gift is a divine ability that is given by God. So God is the one who gives it, but it is given through the Holy Spirit, right? So God allowed the Holy Spirit to give us then, right? And it's not to be used selfishly, as I said earlier, and as Elder would have said in the devotion. It's not to be used selfishly, but it is for spiritual development so that we may be developed spiritually. It is for the strengthening of the church of God and to be a blessing to the world. All right. So that's a more in-depth definition. It's a divine ability that is given to us as believers freely, because we really not earn it, we really not, it's just a gift. It's a gift. God gives it to us freely. And it's not to be used for selfish desires, but it is to be used for spiritual development and for the strengthening of the church and to be a blessing to the world. One of our first takeaway tonight, and if you don't write down anything, write down this. One of our first takeaway tonight is that our gifts are not for us. And you may have already known this, and I'm going to remind you if you already knew. The gifts that God would have given to you or entrusted in your care are not for you, but they are given with a purpose of serving others. And I always use this analogy, and I will continue to use it because I feel like it is so effective when you think about it. When you think about the apples on a tree, the apples on the tree are not for the apple tree. The apple tree will never, day in its time of being a living thing, consume an apple. Never, right? But the apple tree grows the apple and bear fruit so that we can eat from it. We can benefit from the apple tree. And in a similar manner, when God would have given us gifts, it is not for us to carry and to be bragging about or for self-gratification or for any other reason. Our sole reason is to, it's for, God would have empowered us, sorry, to carry out his duties. So it is for the duty of God. And that includes many different things that we'll look at as we go along. All right, good. Now, these gifts, and feel free at any point in time to drop something in the chat or to raise a hand and, give feedback or just give an insight. I welcome it tonight. Now, these spiritual gifts that are given by the Holy Spirit, as Paul would have shared in 1 Corinthians, a few different chapters, talks about a name, nine gifts that are given by the Holy Spirit, right? I will hasten to say, we have different categories of gifts that we're going to look at. And one category has nine gifts. All right. That's what we'll get into tonight. All right. But Paul would have spoken about these nine gifts. And when you think about who Paul was, yes, he was a man of God. He was an apostle. God would have used him, his journey. But in the same breath, Paul was mere human, just like you and me. And the fact that he was human meant that he did not have the capacity to fully understand how the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit of God is incomprehensible to the human mind. None of us have the ability to fathom or understand how the Holy Spirit works to his fullness. Right? We can only understand bits and pieces of him, but we can't exhaust him, And because Paul was a man, just like we are human beings, Paul may have seen and written of those nine gifts, right? But there may be other gifts that are not even mentioned in the Bible that do exist, right? We will focus on the ones that are in the Bible, but I'm just putting it out there, the possibility that there might be other gifts that Paul didn't come in contact with because Paul is human, right? All right. Bless the Lord. And so we continue. Like I said, for Paul to speak about all the gifts, he would have to be exposed to all of them. And being a human being, we can't exhaust the Holy Spirit. Therefore, there might have been other gifts that Paul would not have mentioned. No. The word of God says in 2 Corinthians that there are a great variety or range of different gifts, but they all come from the same Spirit, right? One Holy Spirit giving out different gifts to different people, but one Spirit. It's like a mother having children and, buying dinner, but buy KFC if you want, buy Popeyes if you want, it's one Spirit giving out different gifts to different believers so that the body of Christ may be balanced. Can you imagine if everybody had the gift of speaking in tongues and nobody had the gift of interpretation of tongue? What would happen?
It would be a chaos.
It would be chaotic because all of these messages would come for us to understand and there's nobody to interpret it so we can know what God is really saying to us. And so God in his infinite wisdom knew all of this long before, we even existed. And so he made one Spirit. He allowed the one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to give different gifts to the believers because we're one body in Christ. Just like the one body have different members that do different things, we have one Spirit that gives off, that gives all the different gifts that we have. All right. The word of God also says that there are diversities in the operation of spiritual gifts. Diversities. Diversities means what? Differences, right? So there are differences in the operation of spiritual gifts. And that means, and also there are dimensions to the gifts of the Spirit. What does that mean? There are varying degrees to which these gifts are manifested. So, for example, you have three different individuals that have the same gift of healing, for example, right? Three different individuals, say Deacon, Sister Hutchinson, and Sister Nadine. All three of them have the gift of healing from the Holy Spirit. But because the word of God says there are diversities in their operation, they may not necessarily operate the same way, even though they're operating in the gift of healing, right? Three different persons, the same gift,
Amen.
yet the gifts of healing operate differently in these individuals. Are you with me?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. All right. It also means diversities in its operation can also mean that one person can operate differently in this and at different moments in the same gift. So it means that since we're using healing, let's look at healing. How healing manifests in my life at this point in time may not be how it is manifested some years from now, because there are dimensions. You grow in your gifts. We're going to learn about how to feed our gifts so that we can grow in the gifts. Even though God gave the gifts to us freely, we have a part to play in nurturing those gifts and ensuring that they are they're brought to their full potential. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So a person can and will grow in their gifts from one dimension to the next, from one level to the next in the realms of the spirit. When I reflect on my own self, there are some things that some situations that would have happened and how I operated in a certain gift years after I don't operate the same way. And so it shows that I'm growing in my gifts. And that's what we should all aim to do. Like I said, there might be many other gifts, but the known gifts of the spirit, they are separated into three major categories. Three major categories, and from those three major categories, we have some little subsets. All right? So the three major categories are, the first one is the gift of manifestation. Gifts of manifestation. What does manifestation mean? And I'm going to look, I'm a teacher, so I'm just going to call on persons, to know if children are paying attention in Jesus' name. You can give your idea of what you think manifestation is. We're saying, we want the blessings of God to be manifested in our lives. What does that mean? Gifts of manifestation.
We
Anybody?
Go coming to
ahead.
our reality.
Coming into our reality. All
Yeah.
right. Thank you, Elder. Anybody else?
It'll be something that can be like seen,
Yes.
something tangible, something
Yes.
tangible.
All right. Something that you can witness with your eyes. Not true.
Yes.
Yes, man. Sister Kenesha put, when the gift is seen on display or experienced. I like that. Thank you, Sister Kenesha. See, I don't have the answers, So the gifts of manifestations are those that can be seen, or experienced, and we're going to look at those tonight.
Sister Camille,
Yes, Sister Nicole.
the gift of money, sorry,
Manifestation.
manifestation, the blood of Jesus, no matter what. It's not only what you can see.
Talk to me.
When you manifest something, it's like you are planting a seed. You
Okay.
are hoping for an outcome. Like when you're
Okay.
teaching the students, all right, we're going to read a story. Let's make a prediction. Manifestation is also in the thought. What you see, you can achieve. What you achieve, you will feel.
All
So
right.
manifestation is not just something you can see.
Interesting. Thank you very much for sharing, Sister Nicole. We're going to see how that very statement that you make come to life as we go along. Thank you for sharing. Anybody else before we move on? All right. So the first major category, the gifts of manifestation. The second one, would be the gifts of the office. There are some gifts that are given to us in this in from the Holy Spirit, and they're office gifts, right? Or ministry gifts. It's the same thing. If you hear office gifts or ministry gifts, they're the same thing. Those that would include, for those of you who know, the fivefold ministry, the office of the teacher, the office of the apostle, the office of the prophet, right? Those are ministry gifts or the gifts of the office. Bless the Lord. And then the third set of gifts are the gifts of motivation, right? And we know what motivation is, to encourage somebody, to empower them, to exhort, stuff like that. And we're going to see how they break down. Tonight, our focus will be on the gifts of manifestations, right? And we said that something that can be seen, Sister Nicole said, is it can have to do with the thoughts as well. All right. But these gifts, the gifts of manifestation, right? They are, remember we said spiritual gifts are abilities. So the gifts of manifestation are supernatural abilities that are given by the Holy Spirit to us as believers for the purpose of manifesting God's power, God's nature, and the heart of God to the world. All right? So these gifts of manifestation, supernatural abilities from the Holy Spirit that reveals or manifests the power of God, the nature of God, the heart of God to the world. Gifts we mention, and we are at the place where we understand that gifts are not talent, not just natural talents. They're not just natural talents, but these are abilities, right? When God's spirit come upon a believer and move through that believer in a specific moment, that's when we will see those gifts manifesting. All right. I want you to turn your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to look at verses 7 to 11 to get the gifts of manifestation. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 11. And I would love to have a reader.
All right, we're at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 7 to 11. I'm reading from the New International Version. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another, miraculous powers, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Here endeth.
Thank you so much, Deacon. And so all of those gifts that Deacon would have spoken of are manifestational gifts, right? I heard him talk about wisdom, knowledge, discerning of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. And if you have your highlighter, you can highlight them in your Bible if you like. The gift of prophecy, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, and I think that's it, Deacon. Yes. Praise God. And so these are the nine gifts that are mentioned right here in the Word. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 11. Praise God. Like I would have mentioned before, the different gifts would have been given by the one Spirit. Now, these manifestational gifts are further divided into different categories, right? And the first category is the revelatory gifts. These gifts allow us to think like Christ. Revelatory gifts that include wisdom, knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Those gifts, wisdom, knowledge, discerning of spirits, helps us to think like Christ. Amen. All right. The second subset under manifestational gifts would be vocal gifts, or utterance? Which one do you think would fall under that one? That has to do with utterance. Which set of gifts?
Speaking in tongues.
Speaking in tongues.
Speaking in tongues. What else?
I would say like the prophecy.
Prophecy, yes. And the interpretation of tongues. All of those have to do with, you see, with wisdom, knowledge, and discerning of spirit. It's in the mind, you know. You see the manifestation that comes out systemically? Yes, man, in the mind. The wisdom, the knowledge, and the discerning of spirit. You don't even have to speak for you to manifest those gifts, right? It's in the mind. But then when you reach the utterance or the vocal gifts, you have the diverse kinds of tongues, the interpretation of tongues, and the gift of prophecy. All of those have to be spoken through the mouth. All right? And then final subset under manifestational gifts would be the power gifts. I'm sorry, the utterance and vocal gifts allow you to speak like Christ. So the revelatory gifts, you think like Christ, and the utterance or vocal gifts, you speak like Christ. And the power gifts now, you act like Christ. So which one, if you're acting like Christ, which ones would come out here? Which gifts would manifest here? So this is where the gift of healing come out, right? This is where the gift of miracles come out. And this is where the gift of faith is manifested. Amen? Are you with me, everyone? Do you have any questions? Or are we flowing? If are we flowing? If we're flowing, put flowing in the chat, please. Flowing.
Flowing, flowing, flowing.
Praise God. Praise God. All right. Let us continue. So now let us look at the gift of the word of wisdom. All right. So this gift, there's a Greek word for the word wisdom, and it's Sophia. Sophia is the Greek word for wisdom, and it means intimate understanding of God's word. I mean, that's what wisdom is, right? You get a deeper understanding of God's word, right? Mm-hmm. And if you get a deeper understanding of God's word, it's going to lead to holy living and upright living, right? Because you understand the word, so it brings transformation. Now, people who have the gift of wisdom, they have an ability to supernaturally, and it's not just normal, right? It supernaturally provides solutions to situations and problems, supernaturally. It's beyond being able to problem solve and come up with an idea. It's far beyond that. But when persons with a gift of wisdom speak, you know, it causes us to wonder, you know, how many ever think of that, you know? And it seems so effortless for these people. And I can tell you sometimes some of these people is after it come out, them realize it just shows the flow of the Spirit of God in their lives. You know, when we do have the spirit of the gift of wisdom, we are able to problem solve supernaturally. Not only that, but the problem that they solve, it's not because they're educated, or it's not because of their exposure, it's not because of physical maturity or even spiritual maturity or experience. You know, when it comes, you're frightened. Because you might see a man that is not able to read or even write, eating name on a bowl of cake. But when the man, if the man has that gift of wisdom, when him speak, you wonder, you know, his level of explaining or providing solutions is far beyond his current level of education. It's not because he's bright why I'm able to find it. You know, it's not because he's exposed to different things. There's no other explanation but that it comes from Almighty God. Amen? Praise God.
Amen.
Now, if you find that you have the ability to solve problems, problems that defy your current level of experience, you may have the word of wisdom. Right? The word of wisdom, like I said, It flows from God.
Right.
But we, if we do have the gift, we as believers access it in the heavenly realms, right? You know, just come up. So we access it in the heavenly realms. You see, those who have the gift of wisdom have a deep understanding of God and, you know, the holiness of God, you know, and just have a yearning desire to walk in that holiness. Because if the word of God says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, if we have the gift of wisdom, it will be manifested first in how much we fear God. And if we fear God in that reverent awe, you know, of his presence, we are going to do our utmost best to ensure that we walk in holiness. Amen. Praise God. These
Amen.
persons with this gift feel a burden in their hearts when they see others, you know, in some situation. It's a burden to them. And, you know, God would have used them to have compassion and sometimes and even anoint them with boldness to share the truth with them. Because those with the spirit, with the gift of wisdom, just want others to come into that holiness that they're a part of. They can, my God, praise God. Those with the spirit of wisdom too, you can ease it, they can guide, you know, a simple situation and reflect everything back to God. It doesn't matter what they have a way of linking everything that happens around to back to God. Amen. And it's easy to recognize these people where, you know, you have a decision to make, you know, they will be able to provide advice and to think about the situation from different angles that you probably initially would not have thought about. All right, and I'm moving along. In when we look,
Sister Camille, before you move on,
yes.
I just want to share sometimes when the solution to some of the problems come to you and you are able to advise and you see it being manifested, you yourself is surprised. You say, where did that come from?
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
Yeah.
Praise God. I agree 100%, Elder. And you see, that very statement shows that, you know, it's not anything of our intellect. It's beyond that. It flows from the Holy Spirit. Because if you yourself frighten at the words that come out, when you go back and reflect, you know it's not from you. Amen. Praise God. When we look at John 8, verses 1 to 11, we see the story where Jesus was at a temple. This is an example of wisdom being manifested. Jesus was at the temple teaching a group of people, right? And as he was speaking to them, the scribes and the Pharisees came and went to him, bringing a woman who was caught in the act of adultery, right? And they put her in the middle and they said, Master, we caught her in the very act, you know, and according to the laws of Moses, you know, such a one should be stoned. You know, the people, them probably think, yeah, man, we have Jesus in a corner, right? And it was a very tricky situation, you know, because and they were testing to see whether Jesus was going to defy the law that Moses would have written or would say something that would implicate himself. You know, it's like a setup. But my God, having the gift of the word of wisdom, Jesus knew better than them, right? So in the Bible saying just stoop down and he just write in the underground, he wrote in the dust with his fingers, and then he just got up and he responded. And this is where the wisdom come in. Let he who is without sin cast the first stone. And none of them could. So he didn't do anything to implicate himself. He never defied the law that Moses you know would have given the people to live by. But he spoke such a word that nobody they couldn't move. They couldn't throw no stone. When he looked it, and he said, the people, them gone. He turned to the woman and said, where are the accusers? Couldn't they condemn you? The woman said, no. Jesus says, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Bless the Lord. Go ahead, Deacon.
Yes, Sister Camille, there's a thought going around that when Jesus started to write on the ground, he was writing out their sins. So any ride, liar, thief, all who fall in that category would leave. You know, liar, thief, adulterer, murderer, you know, all who fall in that category would leave. That's just that school of thought that has been
Yes,
going
yes.
around,
And
you know.
I can understand, and it makes sense. You know, it's almost as if he would be reminding them, you know. And if
Yes.
you would have been a partaker in any sin at all, and you will see your sin right out, you're going to take on yourself, good and proper too, you know. Yes, so that was the word of wisdom at its finest, right there, being demonstrated. We're gonna move on now to the word of knowledge. That's the other gift, the word of knowledge. And the Greek word for knowledge is gnosis. Let me put it, the G is silent, is G N O S I S. Gnosis is the Greek word, and it means knowledge or understanding. All right, that's the word of knowledge. Now, the word of knowledge is the ability to grasp spiritual truths, right? Spiritual insights that are beyond the natural comprehension. It is an understanding of the truth of faith and the ability to communicate it to others. Let's break that down. And like all the other spiritual gifts, the gift of knowledge is an enablement. All the spiritual gifts are given to us by God to empower us, you know, for ministry. Without these, can you imagine we're in ministry operating against spiritual wickedness in high place, and you know, all the, and we don't have these spiritual gifts. These are like our armor. That's why God would have given them unto us, right? So when engaging with one who possess the gift of wisdom, you know, you can quickly sense a passion and a depth of understanding that goes beyond. It's not because she's a lawyer why she talk like that. No, man, you go beyond that. And not just education that, right? And I'm going to go down and explain the difference between wisdom and knowledge, because they sound similar, you know, right? But when somebody has the gift of wisdom, it when they talk, you realize it transcends human, transcends their persona. It's not because of their profession. It's not, you hear that it is different. It's deeper than that. The gift of knowledge is given primarily to build the faith and conviction of others. That's the purpose, to build the faith. So when I reveal, when the Holy Spirit revealed to me something about you, and I can reveal it to you, you know, your faith is now built, is now moved to another level. And we're going to look at how that is manifested in the Word of God. All right, praise God. When someone has the gift of wisdom, it basically means that information is easily downloaded in their spirit. God would have given that gift for the purpose of, you know, receiving information from him about the church. It could be about a believer, about a condition or a circumstance or even an event that took place in the past. But, you know, when you operate in these gifts, you know, the Holy Spirit allow you to talk things that the person you're speaking to or the situation you're addressing, you would not have known these things about it. And you know, the persons we are talking to didn't tell you anything. It's not that you know, it's just the Holy Spirit just download it in your spirit. And some person will say, it just dropped in my spirit, you know, and it comes with that sort of clarity. Sometimes it comes with that sort of clarity because, as I said before, there are different dimensions in the gifts, and there are different levels. You're still level one, level two, level three in the same gift. And if you don't feed it, you won't go to the higher level. So some persons may just operate in the bare minimum. But as you feed it with the word of God, as you feed it with the, you know, with prayer and with fasting, as you feed it, then you will realize that those gifts are strengthened and you go to a new level with those gifts. All right. Now, I said that it was given to this gift of knowledge given to build faith. We're going to look at an example. In John 1, 45 to 51, John 1, 45 to 51, we see where Philip found Nathanael and told him about Jesus of Nazareth, right? And you can write it down and read it if you don't know the story. No, Nathaniel respond. What Nathaniel say? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? That's what him saying, no? But as Jesus saw Nathaniel coming over to him, Jesus said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile."
No guile.
God just, Jesus knew. This is the gift of knowledge being manifested right here. He knew, you know? Let us find out how he knew. So Nathaniel said, "But wait, hold on, you know me? You know?" And Jesus said, "You know, when I was coming, I saw you under the fig tree." And Nathaniel said, "Thou art the Son of God." You know? So that is a gift of knowledge being manifested through Jesus Christ right here. With this knowledge, could it be possible that those who operate in this word of knowledge could easily confuse it with the prophetic? Yes, sis. But I'm going to show you the difference when I get down more. But people do confuse it. But I will say this before I move on. The gift of knowledge talks about the past and the present. No, prophecy is the future. So that's how you can separate them. Gift of knowledge, I just know, look at Deacon and it just come to me in my spirit. The Holy Spirit revealed to me. You know, oh my God, this man has been through so much. Deacon, I don't know anything about you. And just, it's just an example. This man has been through so much heartache and pain. It just, you know, it reveals to me that would have been in the past. Now, if had it come to me that, you know, this man is going to operate a business in whatever field, now that would have been a prophecy, which is different from the gift of knowledge. I hope that brought some clarity, Sister Terry. All right, bless the Lord. Now, I said before, we looked at the gift of wisdom versus the gift of knowledge, and they are also confused by some person sometime. But one of the things that you can use to differentiate, knowledge comes primarily to give information, just like how I can look and say, oh my God, you know, this is why this person behaved like that. Oh my God, this happened to this person when they were a child. This happened to this person last week, you know? Just information. Information about a person, information about a circumstance, information about a situation. Just information. Now, on the other hand, the gift of wisdom is more like directives. It gives direction. It gives insight or wisdom for direction. What to do in a certain situation or how to do something. Go ahead, Sister Nadine.
No, Sister Camilla, I wasn't referring saying anything.
Okay. All right. So one is more information, that's the knowledge, and then the other is wisdom, which is more directives. God used wisdom to give us direction, what to do. And so if you find that you have somebody who, you know, is very good at giving advice, this is my situation. I call Sister Nadine, Sister Nadine, this is my situation. And Sister Nadine, without knowing the depths of it, can easily, you know, ask me some questions to bring me to the place where I wasn't even thinking along that line. You're like, Sister Nadine, I have wisdom, man, you know? That kind of thing. And we would have experienced the gift of wisdom being manifested on this very platform last week when we hear the men and the man and women of God coming and share some insight about being married and about being single that, you know, would have opened up our understanding to some to new levels, you know? That's wisdom. And they give us directives as to what to do in certain situations. That is wisdom. Before I move on, does anybody have any comments, anything they want to ask, anything they want to add? The platform is yours.
Sister Camille, I just want to share. When I was growing up, there was a pastor in our community who could not read and write.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows the Bible. If he gives you a scripture, to read and you make a mistake, he would be able to correct you and tell you the right thing. I just wanted to clarify whether this knowledge of the word of God is a gift of the spirit of knowledge. I don't know.
All right. From my understanding, how so he there's certainly a gift or gifts being manifested there, Elder.
Yes,
but,
I do.
Knowledge of the word of not to my understanding, it wouldn't be because it's just that knowledge that you get, you know, is it just comes from the Holy Spirit. You know, it's not that you know anything about it. You just look at me, and some people say it's discerning, but it's really the word of knowledge when God tell you something and you can't speak and say, Camille, why are you worried about your finances? And we say, but how Elder know this? You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be about the word of God. It could just be about a situation or a circumstance. So from my understanding, I don't think it would be word of knowledge there. If it has to do with the scriptures and how he interpret the scriptures and him go deep and it just says A to B, but when he starts to talk about the scriptures, it gone to Z and come back at A and it's just deep, then that would be wisdom. But in just knowing it, I'm not convinced in my spirit that it would be word of knowledge. Anybody want to add anything to that?
It yes, Sister Camille, it could be the it no doubt about it, it's the Holy Spirit that would be at work in him, because remember that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will remind you of all things that Jesus has said, you know. So if he's quoting, you know, without any formal training and reading and writing and stuff, and he's able to memorize that, is the Holy Spirit would be at work in him
Absolutely.
By any means, but to really pinpoint one of the nine gifts, spiritual or gifts of the Holy Spirit, it would be maybe it would be multiple of them that is
Right.
working alongside each other. To really just pinpoint like one, it would be like, you know, it's hard to really tell.
I agree.
Thank you, Sister Camille and Deacon Scott.
Yeah, I'd like to add something, Sister Camille. Yes, I agree with what Deacon says, because I also know somebody which is very close to me that could not read or write. And the person, you know, learned to read. When he got saved, then that's when he learned to read from the Bible. You know, the Lord would teach him and he would read, and person realized that he's reading and he's not saying nonsense, he's reading what is written. And he learned to read right there, and he became a very mighty person preaching the word of God and bringing clarity. So I would say, yes, it would be more than one coming together with the Holy Spirit, you know, and teaches the person how to read.
I agree. Absolutely.
Thank you so very much, my sisters and brother. I recognize that it's a gift from the Holy Spirit, but I wasn't able to place it. So I am clear on it now. Thank you.
Right. I agree that it would be multiple. Thank you. Thank you for your backup, Deacon and Sister Nadine. Bless the Lord. All right. Let us continue. Any other questions before we move on to the next gift? All right, praise God. Don't be afraid to ask, you know. And if I don't know, I will tell you, because I'm not going to mislead God's people. I'll tell you that I don't know, but I'll find out. Praise God. All right, the next one is discerning of spirits. So this is the next gift that is under the revelatory gifts. Discerning of spirits. And this is most often referred to by believers as discernment. It's the same thing. Discerning of spirit, discernment, same thing. Now, the Hebrew word for discernment is diakrisis, and it means to distinguish, discern, judge, or appraise. Let me put it in the chat. Diakrisis. All right, it means to distinguish, to discern, to judge, to appraise. The ability, when you have this gift, you are given the ability by the Holy Spirit to perceive spiritual impulses, the ability to know the origin of these impulses, the source, and sometimes even the motives behind a manifestation. Something happen, you are able to see beyond what is happening. And from just looking at the situation that you're faced with, you sense, you know, or you get an impression or an impulse, and an understanding of the origin, where it started, the source, and even the motive behind whatever you see happening, the reason behind what is happening, right? And yes, it helps us to know if something is from God. This gift is so important in the body of Christ. It helps us to know if something is from God or just the devil or just human actions. Because you can't take things at face card. Sometimes things look a certain way. But, you know, through praying and revelation in the spirit and through the gift of discernment being activated in your lives, you're able to see, no, it's beyond what I am seeing. Amen? And it is important in the body of Christ. It is only through that gift, the gift of discernment, that a person can judge righteously and accurately in the spirit. It's only through discernment, right? Now, persons that have the gift of discernment know a blind lady for years, and she would tell you a passage, you know, beginning to end. That's a gift. That's the Holy Spirit manifesting himself through that lady, sis. Yes, man. If she blind, that's the Holy Spirit. All right. So the persons with the gift of discernment, you know, you may just get an inkling or an impulse that something is wrong. And oftentimes, you know, persons with it, you sense, sometimes initially, you're not able to pinpoint what exactly is happening, but you just get a feeling, an impulse. Something all right. I'm discontent in my spirit, you know? And the more this gift is fed in the presence of the Lord, the more we draw closer to God, the more we read the word, the more we pray, the more we fast, the sharper this gift becomes. That's how we move from one level to the next. From one dimension to the next, right? So these persons, you may get an inkling or an impulse that something is wrong. Everything may look right, you know. It looks right in them. You can't look at it with the physical eye and say, that is what is wrong. You can't point out that is wrong. But you just know that impulse within you, that discontent, you know, and you're not able to shake that feeling. My God. And then you, the persons with the gift of discernment, it manifests in that way. Praise God. When we look, and we're going to see where this gift manifests in the Word of God in Acts chapter 16, verses 16 to 19. Can somebody find and read those three verses, please? Acts 4, actually. Acts chapter 16, and you're reading verses 16 to 19. Do I have a reader? All right, let me call.
Okay, Sister Camille. Acts chapter 16, verses 16 to 19. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which shew unto us the way of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.
And he came out the same hour. Verse 19. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers.
Bless the Lord. Thank you so much, Elder. And so we see the gift of discernment, or the gift of discerning of spirits right now being manifested through Paul. You know, it 16 to 19 or to 18 shares the account when Paul used that gift to sense that there was a spirit of divination in this young lady. You know, she followed Paul and Silas wherever they went, referring to them as servants of God, which was a fact. That was a fact. They're servants of God. And it just, you know, caused me to wonder how many of us, it caused me to wonder if I myself would have been able to pick that up, you know? And it just shows us that we need that gift in the body of Christ. We need it. And we need that gift. We don't just need the gift, but we need it matured, because there are different dimensions. And so sensing something is off is not enough. But the more we feed it, the more it matures, and the more we're able to, you know, pick up the direction, the origin, and know, you know, what is wrong and why it is wrong and the source of it. So Paul had that gift. And even though she was stating facts, look at it. Look at the situation. Nothing never really seemed off to that. Nothing much anyway. It's just that they were, you know, she was following them around and saying the same thing over and over. And Paul just get that sense, no man, something wrong. And Paul just, you know, speak to the spirit to come out of her. And that inkling, that impulse that he felt, that something was off. And then he realized, look here, she possessed, and just talk to the spirit to come out. And so it's a weapon. These gifts, they're weapons that God has given us to operate in his kingdom. And like I continue to say, there are different dimensions. And I continue to stress it, because I want us to understand that not because we have a gift, it doesn't mean that we don't need to train it. It is very important. The next best thing after getting the gift is to train it. You know, we need to train it so that we can not only sense that something is wrong, because some of us, we sense something is wrong, but we can't tell what is wrong. And it's after it happened, we said, oh, that made it a feel, you know. But when we train that gift and we sense that, no man, something is off, you know, in just, you know, sitting back, being still, contacting, connected with our ultimate source, Jesus Christ, he's able to say, this is what I'm trying to say to you, my daughter. This is what I'm trying to reveal to you, my son. All right. So if we feed the gifts by dissecting the word of God, read the word, and not just calling the word, you know, try to go deep line by line, you know, and we need to pray as we read the word that God will give us the understanding. That's how you feed the gift. If you're just reading the word and you're not praying, or you're just praying and you're not reading the word, done in isolation, it's not going to be as effective. Right? We need to do it together and be intentional about it. Because discernment that is not trained is very dangerous. It can be misleading. Right? We need to know what we're sensing through the power of the Holy Spirit. All right. Sometimes our gifts, one gift, act as a support for another gift. And we see where it's a coupled manifestation. Just like I think with the gentleman that you were talking about, Elder, that was not able to read and write. And, you know, Deacon would have said, is a number of different gifts coming in. Sometimes we have one gift and it works. You know, you have one gift and you have another one. It's like it heightens, or they complement each other. Remember, it's the same spirit that they come from. You know, so if one root 1,000, two put 10,000 to fly. You have one gift, as opposed to you have more than one, they support each other. When we look at 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 16 to 28. 1 Kings 3, 16 to 28. It recounts the story of King Solomon and the two mothers that were living in the same house. And you know, both of them had infant sons. Now, one of the babies had been smothered, and the other, and each of them would have claimed the remaining boy as their own. And we know this story, right? And so Solomon would have, called for a sword. He's like, go get the sword, man. We're going to cut the baby. Jesus. We're going to cut the baby. And that was his judgment. And so that each of them could receive half of the baby. See? I split it down the middle. And one of the mother agree and say, yes, cut the baby. You know, she said, cut the baby. And the one who was the actual mother said, no. Give her the baby. Make no cut the baby. Make sure go on with it. You know, you can imagine as a mother, as a parent, if you watch them cut the baby. And so that would be Solomon right there was operating in wisdom. And I feel like discernment is such a powerful combination right there. You know, he was able to use the wisdom of God and discern, you know, that something right with that lady, you know. Who would I want to cut them baby? I know you're a baby, you know. And him say, all right, give the baby to the one who didn't want the baby to be cut. All right. Bless the Lord. And so that is discernment and wisdom, leading to that verdict, that combination being manifested. Anything else before we move on to the next gift?
Yes, Sister Camille, I just wanted to point out the blessing that follows anytime you operate in your gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the blessing
Yes.
that follows. You see, with Solomon, the blessing that follow after he did that, the Queen of Sheba, all of them want to meet with him, and you know they would want to learn of him what we can get all these gifts from. You remember with Paul and Silas when they removed the spirit of divination from the young girl.
Yes.
Placed in the prison, and that's when they see earthquake start to
Right.
move, when they start to pray at the midnight hour, and there was a great earthquake, and you know
Amen.
everything shifted and stuff. The blessing that follows when you walk in your calling in the gifts of the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Agree. Agreed. Agreed. Bless the Lord. Thank you for sharing, Deacon. Yes, and that's why, you know, when we get to the place where we identify our gifts, or somebody identifies, you know, the gifts that we have and ask us to do something, be glad to do it, man. Go ahead and do it. Even if you don't do it, in your eyes to the best, you know, give yourself a chance to grow, because there's a blessing that it comes with. Amen. Thank you, Deacon. Anybody else before we move on to diverse kinds of tongues? Any questions? Are we flowing? Talk to me, people. Are we flowing?
Yes, sis.
Yes.
Bless the
Yes.
Lord.
Yes,
Bless
Sister
the
Camille.
Lord.
Bless the Lord. All right, good. So now we're looking at diverse kinds of tongues. All right. Now, the Greek word for tongues is glossa or glossolalia. You should hear me practicing to pronounce this word. Glossolalia. Let me put it there in the chat. And it literally means tongue. That's a Greek word for tongue. Glossa or glossa and glossolalia, one or the other, the Greek word for tongue. All right, the gift of speaking in tongues is a spiritual gift. It involves having a private prayer language that is used for personal edification, but it is also used for public, like a public gift, which is known as diverse types of tongues, and that is for congregational benefit. So that diverse type of tongues is for the edification of the body of Christ. And we're going to look at that. Now, the gift of speaking in tongues. So speaking in tongues can be a prayer language for personal edification, right? And it can be public gift, which is a diverse type of tongue for the benefit of the Church of God. The gift of speaking in tongues is available to every believer. If you want that gift, I would encourage you to seek the Lord about it, tarry for that gift, pray, 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 and that gift you will be given that gift. It is available to every believer. I remember when I wanted man, and we would tarry at the altar for it, and the first it was a crusade, and the first night I did not receive it, and I left. I was so disappointed. And I remember when my cousin pulled me aside and she said to me, she said, "I want to talk to you." And when I went to her, she said, "Just pray." She said, "Not to pray, just pray, just pray." And I went home and I prayed. That was the Wednesday night. I prayed the Thursday. I prayed the Friday morning, eve. I just seek God. I wanted the empowerment. I yearned after it. And the Sunday I went to school, I went to Sunday school. I was a young believer. I was in candidate class. I would have baptized 2 weeks before that Sunday. So I baptized Sunday, and then another Sunday passed, and then that other Sunday when I went to church, it was in candidate class. I was a new convert, just baptized 2 weeks ago, and we were looking on the gift of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. And I remember my pastor, she would have spoken about it and gave us the information, and she said, "Even right here, right now, somebody can receive the gift." And when I hear that, I said, "God, I don't want to be selfish, but I want that gift right here, right now." And that was where I got it, right there. They removed the other persons out of the room because she said, "Just reach out." And I just started worshiping. And the next thing you know, I started hearing a language that did not make sense to me. I did not want to say it because it did not make any sense. And she kept saying, "Say what you hear, say what you hear." And it just came. Amen. And so that's just my personal testimony. So if you want that gift, it is available to you. Now, there are two instances or three instances where a believer can speak in tongue, right? When a person is baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit, the evidence of this, according to the Word of God, is speaking in an unknown language. Amen. And then there are believers. So that's one. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the evidence is speaking in tongues, right? And then there is another gift within the tongues that is the gift of speaking in tongues, which is diverse kinds of tongues, which means diverse means different, different kinds of tongues. Let's break it down. 1 Corinthians 13. Paul talks about the tongue of mankind, right? So even though the gift is diverse types of tongues, it can be further subdivided. Paul talks about the tongues of mankind, that is earthly language. The tongues of mankind in 1 Corinthians 13 that Paul talks about is the tongue of mankind, which means it's a language, it's an earthly language that is used and understood by men. The person speaking it may not understand it, but there are other persons who are there that may understand it. What you're talking about, Sister Camille? For example, I go to, and I've seen this story. I think I watched it in a video of a pastor who went to China, who, was preaching the word of God. And then, the man of God went into speaking in tongues, right? And spoke with clarity Chinese, not from the day born, the man never talked Chinese. And this is a true story. He's never spoken Chinese. He's never learned Chinese. He doesn't know what he is saying, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and allowed him to speak in a language that sounded to himself like foolishness or like just tongues. But it was not necessarily a heavenly language. It was an earthly language. It was understood by the congregation. Amen. That's why Paul says the tongues of mankind, that is just one type of tongues, right? And so it is understood by men. It could be French, Dutch, Spanish, whatever earthly language, right? The tongues of mankind. And then Paul also in that same scripture talks about the tongues of heaven, of angels rather, tongues of angels, which is the tongues of angels. Angels exist in the supernatural, right? So if it's the tongues of angels, it must be a supernatural type of communication. And that now is a language that is not known to men. Right? So the diverse kinds of tongues is one. The earthly language, be it French, Spanish, Dutch, Chinese, Japanese, whatever. And then the other tongue that Paul talks about is the tongues of angel, which is supernatural communication that is not known or understood by men. All right? Let's look at some biblical reference now. Those are two types of tongues. And then the third one, because it's a diverse, which means different. The third one is for personal edification and growth. And I feel like most of us, we know of this one. It is read in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. It says, "For the one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. For no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries." That's the one for personal edification. Not even you yourself know what you're saying, but you just go to pray and the Holy Spirit just lead you into a language that you don't understand. And you're just talking to God heart to heart without knowing what you're saying, right? And you're just connecting. It's just an intimate moment. Go ahead, Sister Pamela.
Okay, I guess you made it just clear, because I was just wondering how can somebody personally, you know, can know if they're speaking heavenly, you know, language or, you know, earthly language. How can they differentiate, or they, how will they know, or can they identify which language is it that they are speaking?
All right. Thank you for the question, Sister Pamela. Anybody wants to answer that? All right. So the differences with the tongues now. Sister Pamela, if you are speaking for your personal edification, you won't know what you're saying at all. Right? And if it is happening, you may not even know, you probably won't even be able to tell the difference. One of the ways that I feel like you could, if you are, you're in your prayer closet, you're in a private space and you're praying, and you know the tongues come, it's just you and God and there's intimacy, that is the tongues that would be your prayer language, because you're not getting a revelation of what you're saying, you're just talking to God and it's just you in your own little space. You understand? Now if I'm praying for you and the tongues come, it could be that, you know, the Holy Spirit is going to use me to interpret that tongue. It's going to use you or somebody else to interpret that tongue. Or it could be that I'm talking in a language that you understand. An earthly language. Am I making sense?
I'm really trying to.
All right. Let me go through what I have and explain each of them with clarity. And then if it is not clear, then I'll come back to you and then you can rephrase it and see what you want to ask.
Okay.
All right. All right. Thank you. So, right. So the one for personal edification, you know, you're in your space. It's you alone. You're praying to God. And that tongue come, you... If it is for personal edification, you will not get a revelation as to what you're saying. It will not happen. All right. The tongues as a sign to believers in Acts chapter 2, verses 4 to 12. Now, Acts chapter 2, verses 4 to 12. When the day of Pentecost came, Paul described each person as speaking in tongues as the crowd drew closer and were confused. If you look in that chapter, so Paul was talking about the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came upon them and sat upon them with cloven tongues of fire, and the crowd drew closer to them and they were bewildered. They were confused, saying, "But wait, aren't these Galileans? How then are they able to speak our own language?" Right? So the people there were confused that the persons, the disciples who were speaking in tongues were able to speak their own language, even though they weren't from that place and weren't from the place that they were. And that would be when the tongue becomes a sign to believers, when, how do I put it? When God wants to send a message to his people, that's when that kind of tongues come. Right? That's when that kind of tongues come, when they speak and the people hear it in their own language, even when those speaking do not understand what they are saying. And this would link back to the man who went to China, right? So that kind of tongues is a sign to believers. It's a message that God wants to send to believers. There's that the other type of tongue comes as a ministry gift for the edification of the body of Christ. I spoke about it earlier. This type of tongue that comes as the edification of the body of Christ, it comes, and this is when Paul was referring to having an interpreter and or having an interpreter there. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally. This is what Paul says. But one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. I wish you could all speak in tongues, but even more, I wish you could all prophesy. For prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues unless someone interprets what you're saying so that the whole church will be strengthened. Now, this type of tongues, the one that Paul is talking about, when he says speaking in tongues strengthen you personally, but prophecy strengthen the church. He said, I wish you could speak in tongues, but more so prophesy unless there's somebody to interpret that tongue. That type of tongues requires an interpretation. Paul says when this tongue is spoken, there is to be an interpreter in the church, right? And is edified, an interpreter in the church and is edified. Wait. Paul says when this tongue is spoken in the church, there is an interpreter, then the church is edified. And then it would be equal to a prophecy. All right, let me go again. My thoughts got confused here. Paul was comparing speaking in tongues to prophecy. Speaking in tongues to prophecy. He was saying that it is better to prophesy than to speak in tongues. Unless, he says, unless there is an interpreter. So when that kind of tongues come that requires an interpreter, when the interpreter is there, it is equal to prophecy because when you prophesy, the church is edified. And when you speak in tongues and the interpreter interprets, then the church is also edified. So they would be equal to each other. All right? When that type of tongue is spoken and there's an interpreter in the church and the tongues is interpreted, it then is it's equal to prophecy. They would be the same thing. On the other hand, there's no interpreter there, then it is better to prophesy so that the entire church can be edified. So if there is a message that comes from God to edify the church and it is in a language that is not understood by the speaker, him or herself, then the congregation, that's when the congregation needs an interpreter. Sometimes when a person gets a message from God, the Holy Spirit may allow the person to speak in tongues and may allow the same person to bring an interpretation of it, right? So that the message can go forth. Whenever it is a message to the church, there will always be an interpretation of it, whether it's from the person or somebody else in the church, because you will feel that inkling to know that it is something you go out with. Other than that, you know, you're praying and it's your prayer language. You would kind of just pray to yourself. Whenever that inkling come for you to go out and for it to be made public, I believe that the Holy Spirit would have prepared somebody to interpret it or will anoint you to interpret it. Other than that, then it would have just been your prayer language. All right. I hope that brought some clarity, Sister Pamela. Sister Hutchinson, your hand is up.
All right, good. Can
Can speaking in tongues for some people being practiced, because speaking from experience, you're not judging persons, but sometimes people speak in tongues, they say the same language over and over. Is that sometimes people just practice to say the same thing?
What a question. Any takers? Anybody want to answer that question? All
Can I
right.
try?
Go ahead, sis.
It's not practice. Remember when the Spirit of the Lord takes hold of you, you're no longer self. Self is removed. So even though it's repeating over and over again, it's what the Lord is saying through the body, through the vessel. So it's not practice. So even if they're saying a word over and over and over again, it's not something that the genuine ones, it's not something that they're practicing. It's just that you're talking through a vessel, like you're talking through a mic. The mic is the thing that's pronouncing the sounds or echoing the sounds. The body is there, but the spirit is echoing what the Lord wants us to hear.
All right. Thank you, Sister Nicole.
The reason why I said that, there was I know children in church who every Sunday they would just come and say one language that a sister just normally talk. So I just asked the question based on the children would practice that language.
Thank you, Sister Hutchinson. It's very touchy, this topic of tongues, right? And as I would have prayed for the Lord to give me insight to share, because it is a gift that is misused. And some persons, and I like what Sister Nicole said, for the genuine ones, for some, it is supposed to be a flow from the heavenlies through the vessel, which is ourselves, into the open. That is what it is supposed to be. But the gifts, some gifts of the spirits, they are misused. And so some persons hear people talk a certain way. And two things I'm going to point out. Some persons hear a certain talk, a person's talk a certain way, and they just repeat it and they just say, oh, I can speak in tongues. But it is more than just the utterance, right? It comes with power. When you're speaking in tongues, it's not just a sound or a babble or something that just go on and on. There is a power that it comes with, Sister Hutchinson. And those who have the Holy Spirit, somebody says, Sister Terry, speaking in tongues, and I have the Holy Spirit inside of me, there is an inkling, there's something inside my stomach, because it connects. It's one spirit, and so the gift is misused sometimes. Sometimes persons have sound and there's no power behind it. They were probably Christians. And for the gift of the Spirit to be maintained, you have to remain connected to God. So some persons are filled, they get the language, they disconnect from God, go back into the world and live in the world and do whatever. And the Holy Spirit is not intimate with that person, but the language is still there. So the language comes, but there's no power with it. The power is not from the person. The power comes from the Holy Spirit. So if you're not intimate with the Holy Spirit, the power will not come. But some persons babble on, and it's just language. On the other hand, a genuine believer may say what sounds in the physical like the same thing over and over. But in, remember, it says heavenly language. So in the realms of the spirit, it is translating to be something. It sounds the same to us, but in the realms of the spirit, it is translating to be something totally different. All right. Go ahead, Sister Terry.
Yes, good night, everyone.
Good night.
I don't know if I am correct. I'm just sharing my personal opinion and
Okay.
my own personal experience with speaking in tongues. When I first became baptized by the Holy Spirit, I got one language and I used that language for over and over again. And I wouldn't say that it was, I was joking. At first I didn't understand it, so I suppressed the Holy Spirit. I didn't want to say it. Be quiet. I didn't want to say it, but it kept coming out. Over time, each time I got baptized by the Holy Spirit, like I get a refreshing or a new renewing, and another language comes. And so I'm saying something else, and it repeats itself for a while until it gets different. I am also concerned about it because, like, sometimes you would have some people, you know, they're saying, "Okay, we're worshiping," and then they say, "Just start to speak in your heavenly language," and then people just start to speak in tongues. For that, I'm concerned about it because I don't feel like the Holy Spirit is like that. You have to feed the Holy Spirit. You have to. It doesn't just automatically come on you when you're ready for it. You have to be in the realm of the spirit. That's my personal opinion. You have to be in the realm of the spirit, the posture of your heart. You have to be prepared and ready to be used by the Holy Spirit. It's not something that you just turn on with a snap of your finger or by somebody commanding you or instructing you to do it, and then you stop. That's my opinion. I don't know if I
Thank you
answered the
for sharing your
question.
opinion, Sister Terry. I will comment, but it looks like Deacon wants to share. So go ahead, Deacon.
Yes, as you rightfully said, Sister Camille, that some of the gifts are what you call it, force used or
Misused,
overused
yes.
or misused, you know, and I think tongues is one of the ones that is universally misused because people think I think that people may think that they are more spiritual when they exercise. When they start speaking in tongues, I was in a meeting the other day, and the person that was leading the meeting called a gentleman and say, he was teaching about speaking in tongues, and he called a gentleman and say, "Come, speak in tongues." And the gentleman started to speak in tongues, and then after he spoke for maybe about 45 seconds to a minute, the person said, "Okay, stop now. Go and sit down."
Stop.
You know, and he stopped, you know, and it was two times that he called up that young man to speak in tongues in that meeting, and that young man spoke. You know, so I'm just emphasizing what Sister Terry would have said, that you'd have people just start to go in a meeting and say, start to pray in a prayer language, and immediately it comes out immediately. So I would think for one, maybe those persons that can just immediately start speaking in tongues, they have trained their mind in such a way that they are so connected to the Holy Spirit that they can invoke
Easily access him.
speaking in tongues anytime they need to and whatever. Or I don't know the second reason why it would happen.
I thank you for sharing. And I will just add, I was of the perception, and I believed for a long time that, the Holy Spirit, and there was an experiment that was done with, somebody speaking in tongues, right? The pastor would they attach something to the pastor's brain and ask him to talk normally. And when he talked, a certain section of his brain would light up. Let's say the front, let's say the cerebrum. That is not factual. This is just an example for demonstration purposes. Let's say the cerebrum, which is a part of the brain, lights up, right? And that is a part that would light up when you're going to speak, right? And then there's another part, I'm going to call it the cerebellum, that would light up when you're receiving signals. So if I'm talking to you, Deacon, for argument's sake, your cerebellum would light up. But if you are talking, your cerebrum would light up. So when they ask the man to talk, the pastor to talk, normally the cerebrum light up. So him a talk. When they ask him to speak in tongues, the cerebellum light up to show that, it is a divine connection, where the Holy Spirit is speaking through that person. And so it's not the man that is talking based on where it would light up, is he's receiving something. It is being echoed through his mouth, like a microphone, like Sister Nicole would have said. That is what would have happened. But back to what I was saying, I was of the impression that, you would have to tarry and you have to pray and then the language comes. But I just want to ask, I don't think that, well, let me say this and then say this. I believe the Spirit of the Lord can come upon you, and without worshiping, without praising, you just burst into tongues. Because if you are not the one controlling it means the Spirit of the Lord can come at any time at all, sit upon you, and you must speak. Amen. So that is settled. So it means if I am talking to you on the phone, and this is real life experience, I'm talking to you on the phone, for argument's sake, say you deacon on the phone, and then something happened, and my, the Holy Spirit, we might be talking about something, and there's some sort of something happened. The Spirit of God came upon me, and I just gone into tongues. If it is not my language, it means the Spirit of God can come anytime and allow me to speak. The second thing, I like what you said when you said, they would have trained their minds. I like the perception to it. I wouldn't quite phrase it like that, but remember, the Holy Spirit is with us, is within us. And so if he lives there and we feed him, it means and we are so connected with him that we have, intermerged, and we become a part of him and him become a part of us. I don't believe we have to dig deep to find him for him to come out and speak. When you go into that heavenly language, it's because the Holy Spirit is right. And you say, because he's a helper, he's present. He's right there and he's ready. He wants to help us. And sometimes we don't know how to put the words together to connect with God. So the word of God says he makes utterances and intercession on our behalf. Give us utterance. And so if he's there, and when I speak through the Holy Spirit, and in him I live, I move, and I have my being, I don't believe that I have to dig too deep for him to come. It means I could be talking to you normally, and him just decide, I'm going to take over Camille's tongue, and the next thing you know, you hear a language. All right? All right. Bless the Lord. And so we have to stop there for tonight, because I believe time is gone. We're having fun. It is good information. And just before I hand over to Elder, who will close off for us, is there any question, any final comments, anything that anybody wants to add? All right. Nobody? Could be just a comment. It doesn't have to be a question. All right. So I'm going to take my leave. I was hoping to cover more tonight. I knew based on, the preparation time, I knew we weren't going to be able to cover them all. But I pray that somebody learned something tonight and is able to come back, maybe even with questions, or it provokes something in somebody that will probe them to get, because this is where you find the answers, the word of God. Amen. So I pray that you were edified, God was glorified, the enemy is terrified, in Jesus' name. Elder Edwards, over to you.
Bless the Lord. I will take over for Elder Edwards. Bless the
Amen.
Lord. We have been blessed tonight. To God be the glory. We give God thanks for being among us, among the candlesticks. In the book of Revelation, John the Revelator saw Jesus moving among the candlesticks. And I feel him in this house tonight, moving among us. As our sister Camille would teach us on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we have been fed, amen, from the devotional that was led by Elder Edwards, telling she read from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 to 11, talk about we must live expectantly, amen. We must pray and we must seek the Lord, because the coming of the Lord is near. And if ever a time we need to dwell in that atmosphere of expectancy, it is now. We see signs of the time tells us, and we are so blessed to have our own Sister Camille tonight. And she would have shed a lot of light on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I hope to God that you all took notes, and so that you can remember it or know where to source it when any questions come up in your mind. You see, Brother Scott, I took my notes back and front, and I give God thanks. And some of the things that I would walk away with tonight, one of the things Sister Camille would have mentioned, she would have mentioned that the gifts are not for us. They are to edify the body of Christ. They are to feed the people that we come in contact with. And so as we delve into it, it's I know I am like overweight with teachings tonight. Amen. And I know that is going to go a far way. Amen. Yes, and Sister Camille would have mentioned that the Holy Spirit is incomprehensible to human minds. We cannot exhaust him in no way or form. And we want to give God thanks for you, Sister Camille. We want to thank God for using you tonight to really edify us as a body and to flesh out some stuff that we were burdened with over the years, especially when it comes on to like the words of wisdom to mix it up with the words of knowledge, the difference between them and the discernment of spirits and the examples that you would use. We want to give God thanks and for this diverse kind of tongues. Amen. And we can't wait to hear you again on this matter, some and another setting. Amen. Before we close off in prayer, is there anyone that would want to say anything on our studying tonight, any takeaway that you have, we'll just give you the opportunity to do so now. Amen. And in so doing, I want to welcome all. If we have anyone here for the first time worshiping with us tonight, we just want to welcome you to our platform, and we hope to see you back again next week. Amen. The same time, same place. Give God thanks. Let us pray. Lord, we just want to give you thanks tonight. We are your people, mighty God. And you really fed us so that we can maintain a good appetite for righteousness. Lord, we came here tonight burdened with cares and all sort of hang-ups, but we thank you that through it, Almighty God, you were able to satisfy us. We thank you, Mighty God, for your Holy Spirit that is at work in and through us as a body. We pray, Mighty God, that your word will find root into our hearts, that we'll write it upon the fleshy table of our hearts, mighty God, that we will not sin against you. And as we have learned of your gifts of the Holy Spirit tonight, we pray those gifts, mighty God, we claim them in the name of
In
Jesus.
the name
How
of
we want to
Jesus.
discern your spirit.
My
How we want,
God.
mighty God, to speak wisdom. How
Yes,
we want,
Lord
mighty God, to be
Jesus.
healed that vessel to you, to speak with tongues of angels, to speak,
Jesus.
mighty God, edifying the church. How we
Jesus.
want your gifts, mighty God, to just magnify itself among us. We don't want to walk in error. And we know, mighty God, that if we are apart from the vine, because your word said that if we abide in the vine, yes, mighty God, we will bear fruit. We want to bear fruit of the Holy Spirit, mighty
Yes,
God. It's
Lord
so much so, Lord God, that we want to
Jesus.
eat. We want to talk. We want to discuss. When we sleep, mighty
When
God,
we
we
sleep,
want to
Jesus.
dream of your Holy Spirit being operation in our lives. When we are on the road, on the job, driving, whatever we do, mighty
Jesus.
God, we want your Holy Spirit to be at work
Jesus.
in
Yes,
and
Lord.
through us. The Christian life, mighty God, is not possible without your gifts of the
Mighty
Holy
God.
Spirit manifesting itself in and through our life. We
Jesus.
pray, mighty God, that you will
The
come
name
down
Jesus.
upon us. Yes, Lord God, and you will infill us with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Mighty God, you said that we must seek the ones that we desire. Lord, we want to tell you tonight that we want all of them. We want all of them, mighty God, to be
Yes,
operational
Lord.
in our lives because, Lord, we want to be effective Christians, effective people of God. Yes, mighty God, that the world can see Christ in us. We want to be a mirror of your Holy Spirit, Lord God, where, Lord God, you can shine through us and the problems that we'd find ourselves in. Mighty God, they will suddenly be diminished because you are now enthroned in our lives. Lord, we pray for our platform tonight. We pray, mighty God, that you will touch every area of need. Anything, mighty God, that we so desire, anything that is burden us down, we pray, Lord God, that you will lift the weight. We form an altar tonight. Yes, mighty God, and we pray, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that you will ignite the altar, that, mighty God, there will be live coals on it every time. I pray, mighty God, that you will
Yes,
give us the
Lord.
heart, a heart like thine. Yes, mighty God, so that we can be
Hallelujah,
strong
Jesus.
in you, mighty God, recognizing you as our very source.
Hallelujah.
Oh, we need you, Jesus. Oh, we need you in every aspect, every area of our life. We cannot even walk without you holding our hands. We want to feel you near us, mighty God. We
Hallelujah.
want, mighty God, to
Yes,
hear your
Jesus.
voice. We want to see you as you are. We want to walk as you walk, mighty God. We want to do the things that bring glory and honor to your name.
Hallelujah.
Saturate us with
Jesus.
your Holy Spirit,
Yes,
mighty God.
mighty. Yes, Lord.
Saturate us in your presence, Jesus
Hallelujah.
Christ of Nazareth. Let your anointing that breaks the yoke and bring the deliverance be our portion tonight,
Hallelujah.
Lord God. Oh, how we love you tonight, Lord. Oh, how we glorify you tonight. Oh, how we magnify you tonight. Oh, almighty God, we need you more than the very next breath of oxygen in our nostril. We need you
Yes,
more than life itself, Lord,
yes,
because
Lord.
we can't even walk without you holding our hands. And so
Yes.
tonight, Lord God, give us a refreshing. A refreshing,
In
mighty
the
God.
name of
We
Jesus.
need a refreshing in our spirit,
Yes, Lord.
Jesus Christ.
Yes,
Oh,
Lord.
Jesus. Oh,
Thank
Jesus.
you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank
Lord,
you,
our
Lord
days
Jesus.
are filled with problems. Our days, mighty God, are filled with burdens. The many load that we carry, mighty God, it's too much for us to bear all alone. And we need you, Lord God, to come into the air that we breathe, even now, mighty God, and make that difference, Lord God.
Jesus.
Lord,
My
you
God.
are our burden bearer, and we are depending on you tonight, mighty God. Oh, mighty God, we need to see you at work in and through our lives, mighty God. We are tired, Lord, to have the same
Jesus.
problem day in, day out. We are tired to go to our bed with the same problem and waking up with them in the morning, mighty God. We want the circle to be broken, Lord
Thank you,
God. We want
Lord.
the
Thank
yoke to
you,
be
Jesus.
destroyed, mighty God. Whatever, mighty God, is dragging down our spirits tonight, we pray in the name of Jesus, that you will
Hallelujah.
come in your might and in your splendor. Yes,
Yes,
mighty God.
Jesus.
God, and you will tear down every wall, kick down every shadow, everything, mighty God, that would cause us, Lord, to be stagnant, to be at one place every time. We pray in the name of Jesus that you will move us forward in you, Lord God. So, Lord God, you will light us up, so we will be a lighthouse for you, mighty God.
Yes,
we
Jesus.
give our all to you tonight, Lord. We are careful tonight, Lord, to place every problem that is in this group on your in your hands tonight, Lord. We are careful to give it all to you, Jesus, to surrender it all to you, mighty God, to surrender our cares, to surrender, mighty God, our pain, to surrender, Lord God, every hurt. Yes, mighty God, to surrender every broken heart. Yes, mighty God, sometimes we plan some things and it doesn't work out the way we want it to work out. But tonight, mighty God, we pray that not our will, but thine be done, sweet Jesus.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
I pray for that one, mighty God, that is at the point of decision. That one, mighty God, that is at that crossroad, that they need to make a business decision even tonight, Lord. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will meet at the point, mighty God, that we surrender it all to you, Lord, knowing, mighty God, that if you don't take the wheel, we will fail, mighty God. And so tonight we are saying, Lord, take the wheel, mighty God. Tonight we are saying, take our minds. Yes, mighty God.
Yes, Lord.
Take our thoughts.
Yes.
Yes, mighty God. Take our hands, our feet, mighty God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We need you to steer this ship of ours, Lord. We need to stay afloat in you, Jesus. And so tonight, mighty God, we just look to the cross, because we know, Lord God, that you mean us well. You have called us, Lord, as your children. Yes, mighty God, you said in your word that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. We are your children, mighty God. We are not no normal citizen, but we are kingdom people. And so tonight, mighty God, I pray that your will be done in our lives. Hallelujah. Lift every burden tonight, mighty God. And so, Lord God, as we dismiss from this platform to our various places where we abode, mighty God, I pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord, will be within and among us in a very special way, Lord. And we will be indeed energized. We'll be indeed fired up for you, Lord God. We pray, mighty God, for those that couldn't make it online tonight, whatever the reasons are, mighty God. I pray, Lord, for strength. I pray for deliverance. I pray, mighty God, for faithfulness. I pray, mighty God, for healing. I pray, mighty God, for set free in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
And so, Lord God, have your way and be thou glorified, mighty God, in the highest place, as I tell you, thanks in Jesus' mighty name and for the glory of Almighty God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes. Isn't he wonderful?
My God.
Yes, he's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Amen. So I'll turn over to Sister Camille again to give our final remarks before we dismiss. Amen.
We bless the Lord, Deacon. We give him praise.
Hallelujah.
I will just bless the Lord tonight for his awesome presence that has been on this platform. You know, we thank him for the woman of God whom he has so prepared to share with us. And we thank God's wonderful people for being so patient. I pray tonight that you were blessed, that you were edified, my God. And those of us who are at the point who cannot identify our gifts, I pray that through tonight's teaching, we would have acknowledged some We bless the Lord. At this point, I'm just gonna open the platform for anybody who wants to share any takeaway, anybody who, if there's a testimony, whatever is laid on your heart and you do not want to exit the platform with it, I open the platform so you can do so now. Go ahead, Sister Bright. Okay, nobody wants to share. We thank God. I guess we have all hugged the information and we are ready to apply to our lives. At this time, I'm just going to invite any among us who has not yet taken that decision. You know, you have not yet surrendered your life to God. I'm just going to give you the opportunity to openly do so now, whether by putting it in the chat or opening your mark and say, I am ready. I want to surrender my all to Jesus. You know, I have identified the gifts and I want to use them in service to God. Or I know that there's a gift. I was taught tonight that there's a gift within me. I want to get intimate with God so that that gift can be manifested through me. If you are at that point, I just encourage you to acknowledge by opening your mics or by putting it in the chat. And if you're a bit shy, if you're a bit timid, you can reach out to any one of us. And if you do not have access to us, you can just reach out to a believer and said, I am ready. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No one. We bless the Lord. And so we just want to thank God again for his presence. Thank him for tonight. Thank him that he has showed up for us. And as we exit the platform, let us leave with a praise. Let us leave with a heart of thanksgiving, you know, as we go. I encourage us to go and make disciples for Christ. Please bless somebody tonight as we exit. God bless you. We meet next week, same time on this very same platform. Have a wonderful week until we meet. God bless you.
We meet on Saturday as well for Bible study.
Oh.
On the same platform.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, Sister Camille.
We meet on Saturday.
Saturday is at 7.
8.
8.
8.
8.
Sorry, my 7. Eight. And I guess Jamaicans Easter. Would agree with me.
Yes. Yes.
So it's 8 EST and 7 CST.
Amen.
See you. God bless you all.
God bless you, everybody. Have a good night. Thank you for joining us. God bless you.
Blessings,
Mama Valerie. Good night, everybody.
Good to see you. God bless you.
Yes, it's good to have you, Mama Valerie. Praise God.
Bless the Lord.
Brother King, Sister Tiffany, God bless you. Sister Plummer, God bless you, my sister.
Good night, everyone.
God bless you, Sister Terry. Sister White, God bless you. Brother Emmanuel, blessings, blessings. Praise God. Have a good night, everyone.